The second reading is from Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse 9, which can be found on page 970 in the Church Bibles. Matthew 6, reading verse 9 to 15. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Well, please sit down and do take your Bibles and turn to page 970. And we're just going to think about those verses that we had read to us this morning. And as we do, let's just pray for God's help as we come to look at his word together now. Lord, we have so much to learn about the life of faith, and we just pray you would indeed teach us to pray this morning. Help me by your Spirit to bring the words that you've given us to bear on our hearts and lives. By your Spirit, speak, we pray, and change us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week we looked together at how not to pray. How not to pray. And I just thought of this amazing film clip I want to show you of a chap called Greg, who's actually meeting his future in-laws for the first time. They're out to catch him out. He's got his fiancée by him. And he's desperately trying to impress them. And then the father-in-law-to-be says, look, Greg, will you just say prayer for us? And just watch what happens. How not to pray.
Rabbi, for the living, set a grace of name at dinner table. Dear God, thank you. You are such a good God to us, kind and gentle and accommodating God. And we thank you, O sweet, sweet Lord of hosts, for the smorgasbord you have so aptly laid at our table this day and each day by day. Day by day by day. Oh, dear Lord, three things we pray. To love thee more dearly, to see thee more clearly, to follow thee more nearly. Day by day. By day, come in.
Oh, Craig, that's
lovely. Thank you, Craig. That was interesting, too.
Poor guy. Stressful, eh? But he's praying to the crowds there. How not to pray. But actually, we heard Jesus' instruction last week in verse 6, didn't we? That when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. That encouragement to that relationship of prayer. But there's no distraction, there's just you and God, and you're building that relationship through faith in Jesus of talking to your Father in heaven. Not to impress anyone, but to enjoy that relationship with the Father. But the question is, what to pray? What to pray? There you are. What to pray? When Luke records this teaching of Jesus, he records the disciples asking this question. They say, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. And that is what Jesus is doing in our passage this morning. In giving these words, this pattern of the Lord's Prayer. Verse 9, Jesus says, what to pray. This is how you should pray. And teach us to pray to our Father in heaven, what we thought about this morning with the children. And as Jesus teaches, let's acknowledge that Christian prayer should be shaped around the pattern and the content of this prayer. And it's a prayer of two halves. The first half, verses 9 to 10, praying to God, we honour you. And secondly, verses 11 to 13, praying, we need you. Father, we honour you. Father, we need you. Firstly, then, a Christian's prayer should be concerned with the glory of God. We honour you. You see, in verses 9 to 10, we're praying for his honour, his kingdom, his will, his glory. Saw last week, didn't we, the danger of actually praying for our reward and our glory and honour, that people might see us praying. But in this opening verses, the Lord Jesus is teaching us to pray for God's glory, his honour, his kingdom, his will to be done. It's the attitude of sitting at Jesus' feet, isn't it? Of learning from him, of wanting him to receive all glory and praise. And that's exactly what's happening in this whole sermon, isn't it? The disciples are there listening to Jesus teach about life in the kingdom. And that's the attitude we should have as we come to pray, sitting there at Jesus' feet, learning from him and seeking to glorify God by obeying him. For we know that the Lord Jesus is in charge, don't we? We know that God is sovereign. And for the true Christian, the whole of life is shaped radically around the fact that the Lord is King, that God is in charge. And that's why this prayer starts with a concern for the glory of God and not my glory. Hallowed be your name. You see, a true believer will be learning that that's the most important thing. And praying for that, that the name of God will be honoured and praised and glorified in their own hearts and lives, in their daily living and speaking and thinking and work and family and church. The Christian's aim should be to glorify God in all of our lives. That is true worship. We should also be praying that the Lord's name would be honoured in our government, in our nation, in our world, that people would recognise that the Lord is God and honour and glorify him and his name. For we know that his name is a revelation of who God is. In the Old Testament, we learn that the name of the Lord, the God, is Yahweh, the Lord, the God who is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness and justice. We honour the Lord's name because the Lord's name encapsulates who God is. We want to honour that. As Christians, haven't we? We've recognised by God's grace, by his election, who Jesus is, who God the Father is. And as we pray that God would be hallowed, honoured in our lives. As we pray that, we're praying for his rule in our lives. And that's the concern for these requests in verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, as we sit at Jesus' feet this morning, he teaches us to pray that his kingdom, his rule would grow. And that starts in our hearts and lives, doesn't it? That process of Christian maturity, that increasingly he would be Lord of all of our lives, not just parts of our lives. It's also a prayer for evangelism, isn't it? We want his kingdom to come in more and more people's lives. I wonder, are we praying for individuals to come to know Christ and be saved? That they might be part of his kingdom, that his kingdom and his loving rule might come into their hearts and lives. This is an evangelistic prayer. Your kingdom come. And actually it's a prayer ultimately for the return of Christ. When every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, whether as their saviour or their judge. True Christian prayer is concerned with the honour of God's name. It turns all my ambitions around. It's concerned to do his will, to live his way, as we read the scriptures, and that his rule and his will be done in our families' lives, our churches' lives, our society's lives. This opening part of the Lord's Prayer is all about Lord, help me to honour you. Not about me. Not my will. Not my kingdom. Not my honour. No, hallowed be your name, not mine. Not my empire, but your kingdom come. Not what I want, but your will shaping me. Our Father in heaven, we honour you. Lord, I want to honour you. You first, your ways first, and not mine. This is after we've prayed that we're urged to pray for our needs. First of all, we say we honour you. And then we pray, in verses 11 to 13, Lord, we need you. We need you to live this Christian life you've called us to live. It's a prayer that my life should fit in with what God is doing. And as I do, and I honour you, Lord, I'm going to need your help to live in that way. So verse 11, I'm going to need your help for my daily provisions. Give us today our daily bread. Jesus is encouraging us to acknowledge that we are utterly dependent for everything that we have and that we need upon his provision. In the first century, you'd go and do a day's work and you'd get paid at the end of the day. And that would be the money that you'd use to pay for tomorrow's bread. Give us today our daily bread. Lord, Father, I'm dependent on you for all that I have, all that I need, all that I have to live on. I don't think the Lord Jesus is just concerned here with our physical needs when he tells us to pray, give us today our daily bread. Remember the story of the Exodus, God's people being rescued from slavery to the promised land. It took a long, long time, 40 years in the desert, and God provided for them food to eat, manna from heaven. Bread from heaven. And God fed his people to keep them going physically. But actually they knew that they were totally dependent on him spiritually to keep them going to the promised land. And that's just the same for us, isn't it? We are dependent physically for all that we have upon the Lord. He provides food for our tables, beds to sleep in, clothes to wear. But actually we are spiritually dependent on the Lord to keep us following him, to sustain us and nurture us, to keep us trusting him until the new heaven, new earth. We sing, bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. Lord, I need you to keep me going as a Christian till I get to the promised land. Lord, I need you. Daily, I acknowledge that everything I have is from you. Thank you so much. Father, give me today my daily bread, depending on God for all we need physically and spiritually to keep us going. It's a prayer for us to keep going in the journey of faith, along with the provisions we need. We're also encouraged to keep forgiveness at the heart of our prayer life. It's there in verse 12, isn't it? Forgive us our debts, our debt of obedience to God. Forgive us our sins as we've forgiven our debtors. If you've become a Christian and you've matured in the Christian life, one thing you realise is that you become more and more conscious of your sin as you grow in your knowledge and love of God and his holiness. So you become more and more aware of your own failings and your sinfulness. And the more we realise we are sinful, the more we will pray, forgive us, Lord. As a daily part of our spiritual devotion. Forgive us our sins, our debt of obedience to you. It's important that our daily prayers include that confession of our sin as part of our daily rhythm of life. Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me, strengthen me now to live for you. And of course, whilst we know that actually our salvation and our forgiveness is not dependent on us at all, in Jesus' kingdom, it is unthinkable that those who've been forgiven so much will not be ready to forgive others. So Jesus calls us there, doesn't he, in verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And verse 14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. The mark of a forgiven Christian is the readiness, however painful or difficult or hard it is, however long it takes, that they will forgive others. And that is hard. It is costly. But we remember the love of Christ, don't we, for sinners, was costly in heart as he suffered at the hands of evil men and died. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Certainly in our prayers. In this whole area of forgiveness, we need to ask, don't we, for the Spirit's help. Lord, help me. Father, by your Spirit, help me to love and to forgive. How I need you. How I need you. And as we face our sin before God and we seek his forgiveness, don't we need to pray about the temptations we will face day after day? And that's where Jesus takes us, verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And the reality is, if we've been Christians for any length of time, we will know that we're in a spiritual battle. The great enemy of the church and of his people is alive and kicking. It is Satan. We have a real enemy. He's determined and eager to try and prowl around and devour us and set us off course and divide us and turn our affections away from the Lord and get us to deny the scriptures. So when we pray, Father, lead me not in temptation, we're praying the Lord would guard us. It's a great thing, isn't it, to pray that for our children as they go to school or our grandchildren. That the Lord would guard and protect them from temptation and the evils of the evil one who'd love to ensnare them. It's a great thing to pray for our church family. Don't we need to pray the Lord would keep our unity? He would guard us as a church from distraction, the temptation to schism, to disunity, and the schemes of the evil one who would love to destroy the work of Christ here at Christ Church. It's a great thing to pray for our daily walk with the Lord, for our families, for our church. Lead me not into temptation, Father. And as I face temptation today, Lord, deliver me. Help me to walk away to honour and glorify you. Lord, teach us to pray. Well, this is then how you should pray. A prayer of two halves. Lord, I want to honour you. Lord, I need you. As a church every week we pray, Lord, we want to honour you. Lord, we need you. Over the years I've been taught lots of helpful little patterns for prayer through various Christian camps and youth groups. Maybe you heard of the phrase stop, sorry, thank you, others and please. A great way to structure your prayers. Or acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving and supplication. Great little ways to help structure our own personal prayers. But here we have the Lord Jesus giving us an even greater pattern to help us structure our prayer lives. Why not use it? When I try and take time each day to read my Bible and to pray, I've got a little book of prayers. I have lists of people's names and things I pray for. And what I've tried to do is have a line from the Lord's Prayer over each day. So I'm praying through the Lord's Prayer. In fact, I feel quite challenged actually to change the way I pray and to structure around this prayer, as it sets the priority of the honour of the Lord before my needs and my dependence on him. So this week, whether you're in your room, walking the dog, swimming lengths at the pool, how are you going to pray? Maybe it'd be something like this. Our Father in heaven, thank you that we can call you our Father through Jesus. Thank you so much, Lord. Hallowed be your name, Lord. Throughout this day, help me to honour you in the way I parent my children, the way that I react with people at work, the people I meet on the train. Help me to honour your name in the way I deal with people and put you first. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, I pray about areas of my life that I'm struggling to let you into. Help me to allow you to be in charge of everything. Help me to do your will. And in my relationships, Father, those people I love and know who are not yet Christians, Lord, please bring them to know you. Advance your kingdom. And Lord, do return. Come, Lord Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for all your provision of my daily bread, and keep me going physically and spiritually. And Father, about my sins, I just grieve over my sins. Forgive me and help me to live for you. And Lord, keep me forgiving others. I find it so hard, Father, when people hurt me, to forgive them. Help me to forgive them. And Lord, as I face temptation, help me to battle and not give in. Help me to be delivered from the sin and the evil one. And protect my family, who are so dear to me, from the evil one. And protect this dear church. Keep us united. For yours, Lord, is the power and the glory and the majesty forevermore. May we all be encouraged in some way to build our daily prayers around the prayer that Jesus taught us. Lord, teach us to pray. Let me pray. Father, we all find prayer difficult. We're often distracted and busy. And yet we know, Lord, it's our way of communicating wonderfully with you, our loving Father. So we pray that we would be those who are ready to learn, to grow in our prayerfulness. Thank you for this wonderful pattern of prayer. Help us, Lord, to use it. Lord, there might be times when all we can do is pray this prayer. And the other times when we can expand upon it. So help us, Lord, and teach us to pray, that as a church we might grow in our love and knowledge and devotion to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.